voice is so important. Holla if you hear me. Thank you, my brother. There are four types of people in this world. Those who are in the wilderness, those with prideful hearts, those who are preoccupied with distractions, and those who follow God and hear his voice through tests, trials, and triumphs. I told you we had to make some adjustments. They got it. They heard the buzz and see how it went off. It feels so much better. But I think that's a good example. That buzzing noise, even though that's what normally happens in many congregations and things like that when you have instruments and music and the like, that was noise, right? It was a distraction, wasn't it? Especially if you turn it back on just for a real quick moment. That's just so they'll know where the button is in the future. But you hear that? Now, we're going to try to work on that, but in reality, we can't really get rid of it because it's a part of the atmosphere. It's supposed to be there. Now, when we're rejoicing and praising God, you didn't even hear it. But now, as a result of trying to hear a specific type of voice, it's easier. It's not a distraction. That little buzzing noise that you hear, especially when you're trying to hear the voice of God, is all the stuff that's going on in the world right now. It's loud, and it's constant. It's never ending. It's like a big distraction. And it keeps on. And some of us love the distractions because, you know, that's part of the flesh. That's why you have to stay in the presence of God. When you stay away from God and you work too much, and you know, that's why I'm really praying that God opens up things on the weekends for many people who are trying to get into his presence, because it really, really is damaging people's relationship with God. Because when you are away from the light, you begin to wither, and you don't even know it. The things that are in the darkness get stronger. And so you feel comfortable around the darkness because you're getting dark as well. But then when you get close to the light, it seems like it's just a little bit too much, and you got to get used to it again. That's why you should always walk in the light. It's important. That noise, it's irritating, something that you want to eliminate. The engineers and Rick and all of us, we're going to work on that a little bit today after service, but that is very emblematic of what we need to work on in regards to our attention to God's voice during these perilous times. It's of the utmost importance. But let me also break down the scripture to you. There are four types of people in the world, in this world, right now. There are those who are in the wilderness. They're dead. They can't even hear God. They don't respond to the things of God. If you say God, you're like, okay, he doesn't have anything to do with this. These people, religion, and this is no, I'm not saying that people who are spiritual can't be in politics, but I'm talking about the secular people who do not have God. They see politics as their religion or their tradition. They look to people, and they look to the tangible. They look to what's going on in the here and now, and they worship that. That's why you see people posting more. When you see people posting more about a political candidate than they do about Jesus, that's their value system, as if that person can save them, and as if these people don't come and go and cannot die. Can catch COVID, cannot catch COVID. But it is the way of the world. That's the wilderness. Then you have those who have prideful hearts. These are the people who hear the word of God, but they refuse to change. They know right from wrong. And they know what the word is going forth is the truth, but they, you know, they'll seize it for the moment, but then it gets burnt up because of the situation that's going on in the atmosphere. That's number two. Number three, then there's those, oh God, here we go. Those who are preoccupied with distractions. So you mean the only way that you can hear God's voice is that you have to be in trouble? No, that is not the truth. But there's so many people who are preoccupied with distractions. There's been a lot, people of God, I'm giving y'all a great harbinger. A harbinger is like a bellwether that kind of tells you where the atmosphere and what's going on in the world today. There's a big harbinger that's going on. If you notice what's been happening, there's been a lot of chaos over the last month. Several months, chaos. How many of y'all heard about or watched the debate that's going on? That is political, but I want you to look deeper. That is the conversation people are having within their spirits right now between their flesh and what God is saying. It's constant interruptions. Nobody's being able to quite speak with clarity. It's like a warring in my members. That's how Paul talked about it. The flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. Here's the thing. God never, he never, ever, ever speaks confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. And no, I'm not saying our president is the devil. Far from it. I'm saying the situation, the climate, what's going on in the world is of the devil because it's very chaotic and it's very confusing. Fake news? That's been like a coined term, and now you got people all over the place saying fake news. He ain't sick. The only way I know he's sick is he died. And that man by himself killed 200,000 people. And that's not the truth. He did not kill 200,000 people. People are going to die outside of that. And they will continue to die outside of that. That is the truth. And how they leave this world, it's almost as if, as believers, we forget these things, that God said it's appointed to a man or a woman once to die and then the judgment. How you leave is just how you leave. So a human can't stop people from dying. Who can do that? But if you just inform people, you got people who know exactly what's going on and they still don't wear masks. And you got some people who wear masks and still caught it anyway. And you got people who are living and then people who are dying. Never mind the people who are passing away from violence, drugs, and all of the other stuff that's going on in the world. As if COVID is the only thing. Confusion. Don't even know what to do. It's like, ugh. But I heard a great man of God who told me on the other night, he said, when you don't know what to do, be still. And don't do anything else. We had a flurry of activity that happened over the summer. We were serving, giving, loving, preaching, teaching down here at the church, working, trying to make adjustments so that our online experience would be much better than it has been. And it is trying to improve. I would like that other camera to be on, too. That would be nice, too. From the side of Al, take care of it. Because I understand that we have to stay innovative during this moment in time. It's very important for us to stay innovative, for us to be able to speak to the people and tell them the truth of the matter. Four types. People in this world, those who are in the wilderness, people who have prideful hearts, those who hear the word but ain't listening because it's just you. You ever notice that people will post on all types of foolishness, even within this congregation, people will post and reply with all types of foolishness, but because it's you, they won't even acknowledge it. And it's not like it's supposed to be looking for likes, but you could just kind of see what people's hearts are. Another stark truth that I was told is that sometimes people do not attach with ministries out of fear and because of sin. When you're deep in sin, you don't want to come to the light because your deeds will be exposed. But there's some people who want to get right. They want their lives to change. The people who are preoccupied with distractions, text messages, all types of stuff that's going on. But it's kind of crazy that we have focus when we want to have focus, right? How many of y'all know that grown people do exactly what they want to do when they want to do it? If you want to go somewhere next weekend, come hella high water, you're going to be there if you want to do it, right? Right. That's why I don't let me go ahead and get black just for me. Oh, I am. That's why I'm not trying to hear it when it comes to our people and trying to lead you through this rough terrain. Don't want to hear it. Because I know that the enemy is out there seeking whom he may devour. And then there's finally the fourth category, those who follow God and hear his voice through test trials and triumphs. Notice how I said test trials and triumphs. That means that when you're going through a test and trial, it's kind of commonplace that people like to try to find God and all this other stuff when they go through trouble. But then when they get blessed, when a person follows God and they get blessed, they give him the glory. When a person is not saved and they get blessed by God out of mercy, they don't give God the glory. When you don't give God the glory, let me give you a news flash. When you don't give God the glory for the blessings that you have, he'll be like, well, I guess you don't need me. Let me take my stuff with me too. Since you don't need me, since you won't acknowledge me, let me take, you know, or matter of fact, you go ahead and you keep what I've given you because, you know, I'm not going to renege on that. But you won't get nothing else for a while. Oh, man, bless God. I got a new car, new house, new place, new face. But then you depart from God and you push away from the table because of the cares of this world. Let me move on. So these states of being carry a narrative. Isn't that been what's going on today? Right, wrong, or indifferent, whether you care about it or not, our president is a master of manipulating the narrative. That debate is an afterthought now, isn't it? Now it's all about him being in the hospital. And he didn't have to tell anybody. He didn't have to. Presidents have been sick and have had trouble for over years and years and years and years. But sometimes people reveal what's really going on with him because he knows that there's a segment of the population that wants him dead. Amen lights. Amen walls. You see the posts. People who don't even know him personally, they just want him dead. They just want a change from one, as I saw online, one devil to another. But won't both of them kill you? Stick with me, kid. You'll go places. Because where I'm going, I want to follow God. And God is perfect insulation to a lot of the chaos that's going on in the world. So these four states of being carry a narrative. A theme. An overarching theme. Of a shepherd guiding the sheep through several forms of terrain. In the wilderness, there's dry, unrelenting heat with little air. Then there's rocks and steep hills with little nourishment. Thorns and thickets filled with hidden dangers and painful experiences. And then finally, lush green pastures flowing with calm waters. These four states are further emblematic of the seasons of belief that individuals go through into. The first particular stage is no belief at all. I was in contact with a person just recently that thought that because they used Christian buzzwords that I could not tell if they were saved or not. Just because you use Christian buzzwords does not mean that you are saved. It means that you are religious. And that you have memorized what other people have said on a regular basis. So just because you say, I've been baptized, I know Jesus Christ, he's my Lord and Savior, da 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 da. But here's something about being saved. When you're saved, you don't turn it off. There's no off button to being saved. There's no you being saved and here inside a church. And then when you get around your family members, then you're a totally different person. No, it should be when you go around, even your unsaved family members, oh, here she go with her non-drinking self. Oh, here he go. He used to cuss up a storm, and now he's talking about bless the Lord. Oh, they make me sick. And there's some people who, even when they're sinners, they rejoice when you come around and be like, hey, cuz, I know I want to do right. I'm going to come up to that church one of these days. One of these days when I come in town, and you know, I've been coming into town like 40 years in a row. I ain't going to never come to your church, though. But one of these days... Maybe at my funeral, that's when I'll come. Painful experiences. These four states. No belief. Hearing but skeptical. Believing while holding on to idols. That's the distractions. And then devout, relentless faith through every circumstance. I've been given a personal charge to preach in season and out of season. And you could just kind of just tell this vibe of when the people are hearing you, but they're not really grabbing and holding on to what is being said. So I want to reemphasize this and let God do what he needs to do. People of God, don't forget to give. Don't forget to sow. People who are watching online, don't forget to give and sow. If you can give to DoorDash and Amazon, to Walmart.com, pay for shipping and handling for all these different types of places because you don't want to go out, then why in God's name won't you sow to a ministry that's been speaking the truth for a decade? Sin and fear. Be obedient. Mark chapter 4, verse 13 through 20, and it goes as follows. I'm teaching this morning, but I also want you to see this as a point of encouragement. Shoot, I'm going to encourage myself. Verse 13 says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Hey, divine truth, guess what? Do y'all understand what's going on in the world? Do you understand that it's hard to be a Christian right now? It's hard for you to actually follow what the scripture says and not just be pulled along with the crowd. Some of y'all want to talk about Trump too. Oh, never mind, you already did. You got swept away. I got so many people watching my page right now. And I want to be as ratchet as some of y'all sometimes, but then I forgot. I remember I'm a pastor and I'm actually been saved for almost 20 years. And so my position is going to be very different from the average person, and I get that. But every now and then that flesh will be like, man, you need to go ahead and say something just off the chain too right now. But then what do you think restrains me? It's the Holy Spirit. It's definitely not my flesh, because my flesh is the one who made the suggestion to be ratchet in the first place. Right? Right. How we govern ourselves during this pandemic is going to be very key to who will be drawn to the sanctuary in the future, once the fear and the sinfulness of men's hearts begins to dissipate. COVID will leave. It won't be here much longer. And I speak that truthfully, and I know that within my spirit. It won't be here much longer. But until then, we still need to follow God. We still need to serve God. We still need to invite people and let them know that God is good, not just you by yourself. Hey, do y'all got any pool? That's like an old word. Y'all know what that is. You got any pool? Got any pool? I know y'all got pool. You can have influence. That's what that means. Jose got pool. Crystal Reed, she got pool. Y'all got pool within y'all certain circles of influence. It should be strong enough to even bring them so they can see who's been blessing you. And it ain't Pastor Martin. It's God. And Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? Divine truth, do you not, church folk, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables that I give you? I'm giving you illustration, examples. So in verse 14, it says the sower sows the word. This is Jesus breaking it on down. What is the sower? Matter of fact, who is the sower? Well, the sower sows the word. Now, God is the word. And the word became flesh and was demonstrated with power among mankind. God gives seed to the sower. The sower, let me help you, is a farmer who was given land to plow and cultivate in every season. Every season. The seed is the gospel that is to be planted into the hearts of men. One man waters. Another plants, but God is the one that gives the increase. Let's look at verse 15. And these are the ones along the path. So Jesus is letting you know, and he's breaking it down. He's letting you know what the parable of the seed and the sower basically means. And Jesus explains it in verse 15. He says, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. This is when a person who is not saved sees your scriptures on Facebook. They'll be like, oh man, that's cool. And they'll go right back to what they were doing. The word doesn't even penetrate their heart. It's like the devourer. It's like the birds coming down. It's like, imagine me as a farmer and I'm throwing seed out of my hand. And then a mass of seagulls. Have you ever did that? Have you ever gone to a theme park somewhere or on the beach and you had some breadcrumbs in your hand, you see all those seagulls, mine. Those are seagulls from all my Finding Nemo and people with kids. You take a whole bunch of bread, and if you throw up in the air a bunch of seagulls, those seagulls will swoop down and grab those pieces of bread and grab those pieces of crumbs within a matter of seconds before it even hits the ground. Imagine that as being seed. And then there's birds that come through and sweep it and grab it out of the air before it even hits the ground. The word of God is that seed. The ground is your heart and your soul. The birds, or the devouring birds, like buzzards, is emblematic of Satan himself. He'll keep you even from wanting to hear God. It's like turning on a channel or turning on a gospel station, and then you go ahead and move on to Cardi B and whatever acronym you could think of. That gives you a rise more than other things. The sower is the farmer who was given land to plow and cultivate in every season. The seed is the gospel that is to be planted in the hearts of men. Once again, one man waters, another plants, but God gives the increase. And verse 15, repeating, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them because of what they saw on Facebook. When you see how many of you all were, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you all were perturbed when you saw information or news about the debate or about a political candidate? You just kind of be like, here we go again. Those are distractions. And so these people who hear God's word and then it just kind of bounces off of them like, these are those who are in the wilderness. They're in a season of dryness, lack of air. There is no fresh wind. So let me tell you everybody hears one voice or another. They either hear the voice of God, or they hear the voice of the enemy. Okay, the voice of God or the voice of the enemy. Whose voice is louder right now? God's voice or the voice of the enemy? Let me go ahead and thank you, preach. Thank you, preach, somebody. It's God's voice. Number one, that's who people of God should be listening to, God's voice. The enemy's voice comes in several voices. Remember Legion? He said, when he came in contact with Jesus, he said that I am Legion, we are many. If you ever watched that movie, Venom, y'all saw that movie before, it said we are Venom. Because it was more than one. We are Venom. So when the enemy speaks, he never speaks with clarity. He speaks through a distraction and chaos. And people like to focus on chaos. And people were captured by what was going on in the news over the last week with the debate and what's going on in the world and all this other stuff that's happening through the news. And you're captivated by it. I've never before in my life seen so many text messages from people who asked me to vote. Are you registered? Are you registered? Registered. I was registered back in 2001, y'all. Y'all kidding me? Been registered to vote. What you mean to ask me is, are you voting for Biden or are you voting for Trump? That's what you're asking me to do. And I'm not going to tell you. And I'm not going to put any of that information on Facebook because some of y'all are crazy. And some of y'all have stopped coming to church because you know, that's your God. Verse 16, and these are the ones who sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And when they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, then when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately they fall away. This is the second category. God, through his son Jesus Christ, describes this as a rocky heart. This is when you come to church and be like, ooh, this is nice. This is nice. Is that your priest in the front? I'm a pastor, not a Catholic priest. I'm just saying. This is a nice place. It's not dirty. Well, I'm glad. But I mean, that's okay, because people make judgments when they come into buildings. They watch television, and then when they come into the place, they kind of see if there's any similarities. No, it's different. And then when that person comes in, when they hear something good, it's like, man, God is still on the throne. Man, yes. Yes, I'm going to be head and not the tail. Yes, I'm going to be built with faith. And then as soon as you leave the doors, you see that text message baby daddy, baby mama, somebody at your job, that wicked coworker, or that one relative that you know is going to hell, but you keep on trying to rescue them anyway. You know it. That seems kind of harsh, isn't it? Because you thought that God loves everybody. He does. He loves you enough to let you know that you should listen to the gospel and change before you pass from this life. And I have a wager, if you are feeling some kind of way about that, if I am wrong about God and this whole thing about heaven and hell and whatnot, if I am wrong, then nothing will happen to me. I'll be worm food. But if you are wrong, then there will be eternal consequences. And you should not want to only serve God out of fear of hell. That's backwards. Maybe, just maybe, you want to love God because he loves you first. And he's a blessed, he's a good father. He's gotten you through some tumultuous situations and circumstances. He was there when you didn't even want to hear from him. He was there. Just like the shepherd carrying his sheep through each one of those different types of terrain, through the wilderness. Everybody in here was not born saved. You're not born saved. You can go to church with your mama and your grandma and your daddy and them. This is important. You could go to church, but that does not mean that you're saved. So nobody in here started out of the womb talking about some praise God, let my enemies be scattered. Nobody starts off that way. The default position of the heart is the agnostic heart, meaning that you know that there's something greater out there, you just don't know what it is. But you shouldn't stay there, because if you stay there too long, then you'll become spiritual and not religious, and then you believe anything, and you start getting into anything, because you won't say that there's nothing, but you won't say that there's clarity either. It'll be a constant state of what if or unknown, but God is not unknown, he's clear. So when you don't have any root, you hear something good in the congregation one Sunday, and then Monday, it totally evaporates. The scripture basically describes this plainly as a person with a prideful heart. They go through things like rocks and steep hills with little nourishment. It's like imagining a sheep going along a pack of mountains, and they're following the shepherd, and then all of a sudden they're just trying to gather their way, and then they stumble, and then they get hurt. The shepherd is gone on because he has sheep to tend after, but sometimes that sheep has the propensity to stumble and be left behind because they can't handle this rough terrain that we're going through at this moment in time. Rough terrain. I'm going through a rough situation in my life right now, Pastor Martin. I'm going through some circumstances. I'm going through a rough time in my marriage. I'm trying to help out my family members that are constantly getting trouble over and over again. And so sometimes the shepherd can't be there with you close, but you do and should be able to hear his voice. Did y'all know that when y'all come to church, you just hear a voice? That's it. That's all that it is. I can't make you. I'm not going to take out the stick and be like, here you go. Let me go ahead and wrap you upside the head. That's not how it is. When you look at that picture on the screen, this is a shepherd's staff. And it's not meant to beat up the sheep. It's meant to guide the sheep. It's meant to, you know, put you on the right path. Hey, you're going off a little bit. How about, let me make a suggestion to you. Why don't you do this instead? It's supposed to be gentle, right? Now, every now and then, there's the rod of correction. This is like me telling you the truth that, hey, you can't continue to live like the world and still be blessed by God. That's not how it works. Because the world will bless you, but the world blesses you with a lure. It's a trap. It looks enticing, but then after the enemy gets you, then it flips the script. And so the voice represents the voice of God trying to guide you at this moment in time. And sometimes God says yes and no, and sometimes he corrects you, sometimes with harshness, because he does not want you to die as you're trying to maneuver yourself through the rocks or the rocky places of life, through the wilderness of life. I've gone through the phase where I said, I don't know if there is a God. Gone through the phase of, well, I know there is a God, but I'm going through a rough time. And then sometimes we go to the next phase, which is the third phase. And this is verse 18. And others are the ones sown among thorns. This is where I believe a majority of church people are right now. This part right here. Religious people are usually in category two, where they're around the things of God, but you're just here because you don't want to be home because you've been inside because of COVID. But because you ask, I'll come with you. Mama, because you're my parent, I'll come with you. But that's not the reason why your parents and people take you to church is because they're hoping that you'll hear something that will change your heart. Nothing more than that. But people like to say, well, religion is the reason why all this hateful stuff in the world. I was like, what teachings of Jesus oppress people? Can anybody tell me? You know, love. Bless those that curse you. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Tell the truth. Forgive people. That sounds really oppressive, doesn't it? But see, when you don't know God, you don't know his character. But when you know him, you're like, man, this Jesus, he's truly the true shepherd of my soul. He could help me stay focused, even through a crazy election. But we're in a prophetic time. I hope you see this. We're in the book of Judges. Anybody want to know what's going on, preacher? We're in the book of Judges. Several judges are being appointed. They're about to appoint a brand new one that's going to turn things around drastically. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is what is going to happen. Whether the man wins or not, he's going to put his stamp of approval on this last act, if that be the will of God. And you should be all right no matter what. So let me talk about these thorns. Verse 18, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who, watch this, hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So this is when everything that's going on social media is getting on your ever-loving nerve, and you letting it. You're letting it. You're letting social media. You're letting Instagram. Did you know that right now all of the platforms are basically the same? You could post a picture. You could put text out there. You could connect with friends. All of the platforms are the same. It's just that they cater to different audiences. You got the TikTok audience, 3 seconds or less. And then you watch like 1,000 videos, 3 seconds or less. And you're captivated by that. An inundation of information, but no wisdom. Facebook, that's for all us old people. Been on Facebook since 2009. You'd be like, I was in elementary school in 2009. But it's still photos, pictures, and people's opinions. Instagram, photographic opinions. Snapchat, opinions in a few seconds or less. And then they disappear. Same stuff. And then what we do as humans is that if we're not careful, we put ourselves in a bubble of people who think just like us. And then we're shocked and amazed. You know what I like to do? I love to sit and observe things. I go to Donald Trump's Facebook page to see how they're talking about him. And then I go to a place that doesn't like Donald Trump and I see how they talk about him. I go to Biden's page and sees how people talk about him, and then I go to people who don't like Biden and I see how they talk, and it looks just the same. And some of y'all are upset that somebody loves somebody that you don't like. Ain't that crazy? Somebody loves the person that you don't like. But what about God? God says that he is loving to the unthankful and evil. Crickets. You see, when you come to a ministry like this, it may not be the biggest or the largest or the flashiest, but you will definitely get the truth. You will definitely get the truth. It's the truth that will set you free when you understand it. Then it will set you free. So those that are preoccupied with distractions, thorns and thickets filled with hidden dangers and painful experiences. What is the voice that you hear during the thicket? And when you're in thorns, pain. Just imagine that you're trying to navigate through a thicket and then you keep on getting stung. Ever went through a thicket? Have you ever, this is a southern term, going through a football field or some woods with some high grass, and you get, and you find out after you go through this high field of grass that you have all of these sticker burrs on you? Sticker burrs, y'all don't even say that no more, do you? That's what we used to call them, sticker burrs. Sand spurs, that's the proper term. That's the high class term. We used to call them sticker burrs. All right. And Lady Martin, she called them something different. Sand spurs, no, they're the kind that just, the kind that you have to peel off. They like look like hitchhikers, that's what it is. She called them hitchhikers. See, I wasn't alone. That's the Inverness coming out right there. But when you go through those things, have y'all ever stepped on one of those before? Or you go through a football field and you playing sandlot football and you get tackled into that little patch of sticker burrs? I know I did. It is painful. Have you ever ran through the woods before? Oh, I don't even go outside. I just watch Netflix. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's what you do. You can actually go outside and you get some nice sun and you can look at the animals and you can hear there's no social media out there. You can actually get some peace. And you're going through the thicket and you get stuck by a branch or stuck by a sticker burl or whatever. It's painful, isn't it? Imagine that you're just trying to get to the end of the destination, but when you get stuck with something, I don't know about you, but it's like you trying to, another example is like you trying to get healthy and you go for a walk a little bit in the evening in Florida, but then you discover that there's a thing called mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are like distractions. You're trying to get healthy, you're trying to walk. You can move in one place to another, and all of a sudden, I'm finna go back and go inside the house. But what happens if your blessing is at the destination? Something so small, but it's numerous, stopped you and blocked you from getting your blessing. There's a bunch of mosquitoes and thorns and thistles out there through social media, through some of our people that we hang with. Sometimes our kids might get him. Get his attention right there. Tell him to look at me. Yeah. He waved back. But you got to know how to handle them. There's no reason, there's no problem being aware, but when you're fully immersed and that becomes your life, beware. Verse 20. And I'm almost done. But those who are sown in the and on good soil are the ones who hear the word of God and accept it. Look at that. And bear fruit. 30% production, 30-fold. 60-fold, 60% production, 100% production. Now those are the states of a person that is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you see that picture? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. First coming to God, 30% saved. Sanctified, that's 60% because now your mind is being renewed. 100%, nobody could be 100% productive until they die. And what do you mean by that? That sounds kind of morbid. What I mean by that is when your body has been glorified and now you have gone to heaven. That is the greatest witness that God has for your life, is that you have gone to heaven with him and you have endured like a good soldier. And you're with him forever. That's 100% fruit, because that means you're with God forever. 30 to 60%, that's all you're going to get in this world. 100%, that's when your body is glorified and you take off this corrupted body, all of these pains, issues, everything, every ailment that you have within your spirit and within your flesh, that will be erased when you go to heaven. But the goal is not heaven only. The goal is to produce while you're here on the planet. That's the goal. So no, I'm not selling you a heavenly place. It can't be bought. So these four states are the state of a person's soul. I hope you get the picture. There's some people who are out there in the wilderness just walking around like zombies. They're carrying on, they're living it up. They got injections inside of their butt. And you like the post online, and then that's the world that they're in. And it becomes normal. But then the word keeps on being sown. And perhaps maybe one time that word will penetrate. You see, have you ever seen the flower grow up in concrete? That lets you know that the word could penetrate even the hardest of hearts. But sometimes the environment is not conducive for it to grow as to its full potential. So typically what you would need to do is you need to take that plant from out of that hard environment and put it into a softer environment where it can grow and it can bloom. That's what a ministry is like. A ministry is like a pot. And the people represent the soil because, you know, we are all earth, made of earth. We're made from the dust of the ground. The word of God is like the seed, and then the water is through praise and worship. And then when you have all those ingredients going together, with a shepherd that's willing to, did you know that this is only meant to guide you? The other part that's there, and see the guidance, matter of fact, if you hear this, it is only God that does the hard rod of correction. But as far as the pastor's only supposed to use this handle. He's not supposed to flip to the other side. Because the truth guides you, even though it may be hard. So my job is to never turn this upside down. It always stays right standing up. You know what this part is really for me to get? It's for the wolves. So a pastor is only supposed to keep wolves away from the sheep. A pastor is not supposed to use this on the sheep. God is the one who corrects you because you're his sheep. I'm just supposed to guide you. I plant the seed. So if God corrects you, what am I going to do? Stop him? You chose to make those decisions outside of the will of God, so you got to go through some things. But you need to listen. I'd rather you listen to God with gentleness. So that's what I try to impress upon my children. I should not have to raise my voice and take away privileges only to get you to listen. I would rather give you all the blessings, and then that would motivate you. But it takes maturity to respond to blessings. If I get blessed by God, I want to go to church even more because I'm like, man, I want to get close to the source. If this was an outlet, I want to be right here because I really want my life to shine and really be emblematic of God's blessing. I want that. I want it to be apparent. So as I close, that last area, it's like lush green pastures flowing with calm waters. Some of y'all could get delivered this morning if you just abstain from social media for at least 3 days. You lose weight. Your hair start growing again. You don't have to put on makeup. You'll have some muscles. Those things are things that are necessary. You can go ahead and cut on. We'll fix it later. Matter of fact, you could turn it off because Al should be able to go through that speaker behind him when he plays. Let's see if you'd play. So those things are very important, those four states of a believer. You've been watered, you've been planted, but now you have to get ready for the increase. And increase is not easy. You have to be ready for God to bless you. So just follow the voice. So as I conclude, come on, stand to your feet. We're done. People of God, who is in your ear right now? Who is in your ear? Who is in your ear? Do you have many voices in your ear? Do you have many voices in your ear? Or do you have a single voice in your ear? Which one of your friends is changing your mood? Our friends are friends, but sometimes our friends introduce us to our first drugs, our first sexual encounter, our first rebellious moment, A first time stealing? A first time cheating? Were they really your friends? But what a friend that we have in Jesus. Who is in your ear? Who is pulling you away from the things of God or making you want to hide from the things of God? Is it financial? God is the source. He has an answer for that. Is it pressure from family members? God has an answer for that. Sometimes you got to let people go and leave them alone. Leave them alone. I mean that. Sometimes you just got to leave people alone and let God have them and be okay with it. Because you're trying to kill yourself by trying to save somebody that does not want to be saved. But an old preacher told me the other night, he says, but look at what you do have. If you got food on your table, clothes on your back, a place to stay, and somebody that says that they love you on a regular basis, then you in good standing. Even if the people who tell you that they love you is not related to you, and that's your family here, the people of God. That's what it's all about. We are knitted together because of Jesus Christ. So if nobody else is telling you that they love you, you'll hear it from me or you hear it from somebody that's next to you. I love you. And there's not a thing that you could do about it. That's mature love, not unconditional. I don't have unconditional love. I have conditional love because I'm not God. But I'm getting better and better at it. I'm really trying to learn how to love my enemies, love those that use me. I remember one particular person was coming to the church for a little period of time, and he was basically saying, you know, Pastor Martin, I need X amount of dollars, and, you know, I'm going to be with y'all for the duration. And I gave him the money, and then the following week, he didn't even return my calls. But you know how I did not allow for that to burden my heart? I've been practicing over the years. This is not the first time. The way that I practice in my heart is, as soon as I give it to him, I already have in my mind that no matter what happens, I'm going to be blessed by God. That's how you give appropriately. I'm going to be blessed by God regardless because he saw what I did. So whatever the person does has nothing to do with me. That's between them and God, but I want my relationship with God to be intact. So that's why I don't loan people money any longer. Pastor Martin, I need a loan. No. I don't. If I have it, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm not going to ask for it back. Because that creates problems. I'd rather just give it to you flat out. Because that's where my heart is at this stage. Who is in your ear? What voice are you really hearing right now? Is it one of aggravation? Pressure? Social media posts? Are the social media posts got you that riled up? You can't wait to get to the house and log on so you can tell that one person that made a comment that's a stranger that you're right and they're wrong. I do it sometimes too, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help people as far as their souls are concerned. So if you ever see Pastor Martin's commentary, that's me trying to help somebody out, even if they cuss at me, and I don't return evil for evil. It don't take any effort to do that. Somebody cuss you out, you're going to give them the business back, right? That don't take no effort. If you got a cussing spirit, this is just going to fly right off your mouth, no problem. You restrain it when you're in the house of God, but when you get in that car. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to change things around a little bit. Let the Spirit of God permeate your heart. Don't get swept up by what's going on in the world. So let us pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I honor you. For you said in your word of John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I, being Jesus, are one. So people of God, as I pray, through every season, through every test, through every trial. Follow the voice of God. Don't go back into the darkness. And if you see a glimmer of the light, walk in the light. Even if it exposes you a little bit, it's better for you to confess than to be exposed. You get that? Everybody in here has some type of problem, some type of dirt in their life. We're made from the dust, so of course we're going to have dirt. But the point is, whether or not you allow for God to move as needed within your heart. So no matter the climate, follow his voice. Despite the mess, follow his voice. Despite the pain, follow his voice. And if you know his voice, you need to holler and shout to God if you hear me. So at this moment in time, I need everybody to start thinking and praising God. This is going to go against the grind. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet if you can. I want you to go ahead and start praising God. This is going to go against your emotions right now. Use your voice if your hands are occupied. Start thanking God and praising God. Let me give you an example. Lord God, I thank you. Even though I got afflictions in my body, thank you, Lord God. Even though there's situations or circumstances that's going on in my mind right now where I feel tormented, I feel anxiety, stress, and pain, Lord God, I still thank you. Lord God, I thank you for my husband, even though we're not getting along. Lord God, I thank you for my wife, even though she's not taking care of the kids as she should. Lord God, I thank you for the relatives, even though they're not listening to me about the things of God. Lord God, I thank you. I praise you. Lord, help my son's father. Lord, help my daughter's mother. Lord God, help them. We don't get along, but Lord God, I want to get along with you. Change the circumstances, Heavenly Father. Change the situation, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Create in me a clean heart. Lord God, I thank you. I don't even know if my car is going to be repoed next week. Lord God, I still thank you. Even though I feel something that's going down deep and it's so painful, Lord God, I thank you, for you know best and you don't make any mistakes. Lord God, I thank you. Thank him, church. Worship him, church. Thank him through the pain. It takes practice, doesn't it? It does take practice. It takes practice to thank God regardless of how you feel. Thank God. Make sure you do that. Thank God through the passing of a relative. Thank God for the ones that were brought into the world. Thank him. Thank God. And you have to do it with the fruit of your lips. It doesn't have to be in tune. This is not a song. This is Pastor Martin trying to show you all how to handle the rough terrain. So, Father, even as we close out today, teach your people how to praise him through every circumstance, in season or out of season, whether somebody likes them or not, whether they get promoted or not, married or not. From all things that come from you are blessings and add no sorrow. God will not put something in your life and make you grieve over it. If God puts something in your life, there's going to be a silver lining at the very end. It may be tough, it may be hard to handle, but if it's from him, there will be peace. A peace that surpasses all human understanding. That is the truth of the matter. So, Lord God, we praise you. We honor you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. I love you. Follow his voice. Don't be like everybody else. It'll drain the life out of you. Try to argue with everybody on your least favorite candidate's Facebook page is not going to work. Leave it alone. That's the flesh. Those are carnal things. God is in control. Don't forget that. Don't let these distractions get to you. Amen. Amen. Well, we're done. We finished. We're out of time, but not out of message. So that means next week, I hope to see you again. We'll get our Bible studies rolling in the right direction. We'll make our adjustments. Brother Al, Brother Rick, we'll get together, try to eliminate that noise, because it's irritating, ain't it? That's just a symbol and a sign of what's going on in the world today. You can still function, but it's good to just have some clarity right now. So I want to give you some clarity. All right? So turn forward and say, God loves me. That's it. That's all. No, let's try it again. Love God.
Love God.
Love people. Love people. Be blessed, people of God.